to have them. Glad to have each of you here, and glad Brother Martin agreed to address us this morning on outreach. It's his heart, and he'll be sharing that in just a moment. We're going to get started pretty quickly because they've got a long drive today. Got to go through customs and all that kind of stuff, so we're going to get right to it in a moment. I would like you to stand, and if you would, I know it's hard to give up a seat, but I wonder if we couldn't just kind of from halfway, you know, this way forward, just kind of move up closer this morning. And if you wouldn't mind, it's a little cool in here anyway. That'll make you feel warmer, and it'll be great. We're going to ask Sister Hurst to lead us in just a real simple course that should encapsulate why you're here this morning. And I know it's because you like Brother and Sister Martin and their family, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think you have a heart to put the kingdom of God first. That's why you gave up a Saturday morning, and you want to see souls won to the Lord. And this course, little course, will encapsulate it. But let's just pause real quickly, and could we together go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be with us in this time together? Father, thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Lord, help us to see this thing afresh. Put it fresh upon our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, put it fresh upon our hearts. The need, oh, God, the reason, Lord, to be your hand extended, Lord. We are your body. Lord, use us for your glory. Lord, to reach those that are perishing, to hold forth the word of life. Lord, to shine in the darkness around us with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your people that are here this morning with hungry hearts, ready hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Martins and Brother Martin Sharon this morning, God. I know you're going to speak to us. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Hallelujah. This course, you'll know, it simply says, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes white. Doesn't that encapsulate what this meeting's about?
I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. Washes whiter than snow.
Could we sing that one more time?
And I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Washes whiter than snow.
That's why we're here today. That's why you're here, because we believe Jesus saves. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Martin, God bless you for doing this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. And what a wonderful opportunity to share this time with you this morning. And we certainly appreciate you for being here today. And I'm so thankful for the vision that Brother Hurst has to encourage us to focus upon the importance of outreach and give us this opportunity to share with you this morning. Praise God, praise God. Outreach, simply put, is being willing to reach out. A lot of times we are concerned about what's close and personal and self and so forth. But the whole focus and the whole attitude and I just praise God that you as a church embody these principles of outreach. Amen. And it's just such a blessing to have this time together. I just want to share a verse with you as we get started this morning. Matthew 23:15, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So I want to tell you something. Not everybody that's concerned about outreach has a desire to share the message we just sang about. There's a lot of people that are fervent in their outreach, but the message they're carrying is not going to help the souls that they're impacting. The influence that they have is a negative one. But we are gathered here this morning with a focus and with a desire and with a conviction that we have the best news that could be told. I believe that's true this morning. In World War II, there was a mother that was told, "Your son has been killed in action. Although we cannot find his body, we know for sure he's dead." She grieved. Their church family grieved. And went for months and months. Till one day the State Department approached the pastor and said, "We need you to go talk to this mother again. We found this young man alive." Can you imagine the responsibility that pastor had to go and tell that family? You think you... "Oh, I might get around to it tomorrow." I don't think so. And that's the same thing. A lot of times we think of outreach and sometimes our first response is, "Oh, I don't know how I can do that. I'm just not very good at that." But I'm telling you, we have the best news that can be shared. We have that opportunity, and it can make all the difference in the world in somebody's life. And so... So this morning, we'd like to talk about, amen, this concept of outreach from God's perspective. Amen. The motivation, first of all, for outreach. What is our motivation? Amen. As Jesus said concerning these the scribes and Pharisees who would be willing to compass sea and land. I mean, it was no small endeavor. I mean, here we can jump on an airplane, and it's not hard to... compass sea and land. We've got nice boats. We've got the finest of transportation. But here are these in the primitive resources they had. Amen. He said, you make that your goal, and you make a proselyte. You get somebody to follow. You influence and impact his life. But his detriment is terrible. I want to tell you what, that's not the way we're motivated. We're motivated by a love. Love is the only acceptable motivation. When Jesus spoke to his disciple that had denied him three times, what was his question? "Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me?" Amen. It was not, "Peter, are you the most qualified? Peter, are you the one that's capable? Amen. Are you the one that's..." But the motivation was, amen, Jesus driving very down to the very root of it, amen, was motivation of love for him. Listen, we can talk about having a love for souls, and that we'll talk about that more in a moment. But the primary motivation for our outreach is our love for Jesus. I'll tell you what, if all you are motivated by is by the love that you have for people, you can be hurt and disappointed so quickly that you'll throw up your hands and say, "What's the use?" They don't appreciate it. They're ungrateful. They don't know the sacrifices I'm making. They don't appreciate it. They criticize. They pick. They find fault and everything else. And it can just so demoralize us, amen, to the sense that we feel like it's not even worth the effort. It's not worth the trouble. But I want to remind you this morning that the motivation for our outreach, amen, is our fervency of love for Jesus and aware, amen, of all that he's done for us, the conviction of what he's done in our lives. Amen. "Lovest thou me more than these?" And on that basis, he said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, reach out." Amen. Go outside of yourself, not because, amen, of any other reason, but motivated. What is the Paul writes to us and says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm not motivated by that godly love. Amen. Then I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I mean, that sounds like outreach. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. My friend, this morning, amen, there's something about that love for Jesus. No matter how much we want to reach out, amen, the determining factor of the effectiveness of our outreach is the faithfulness of our upreach. And that's illustrated sort of in a somewhat detached form when Moses was interceding on the mountain with his hands raised up. And his intercession on the mountain directly affected the outcome of the battle down in the valley. And you know, it's easy when you have responsibilities and you have a Sunday school class to teach, or you have a message to preach, or you're called upon, you know, you have outreach opportunities and so forth. And it's easy to think, well, this is my job. This is what I do. Amen. And so I've got to work real hard at this. And yes, we do need to be diligent. We'll say more about that in a moment. But the important thing is to realize that it needs to flow out of my relationship with the Lord. It needs to flow, amen, that the faithfulness of our upreach will be, amen, the measure of our effectiveness in our outreach. And you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. There is a temptation, and even among those of us that maybe are in a position of ministry or whatever, amen, there can be a temptation to just focus on what you know you've got to crank out and what you've got to do, amen. And if we neglect, amen, that personal relationship with the Lord and that fruitfulness, amen, that abiding in Christ as we need to, then we'll suffer, and so will the effectiveness of our outreach, amen. And so we've talked about the motivation of our outreach, but let me go step further and speak with you just a little while about the method of our outreach. The method, how do we go about it? Amen. You know, Psalm chapter 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to tell you what, the method of our outreach, amen, must be, amen, within the guidelines and the parameters of the Word of God. I believe that God gives us guidance and direction. There are creative ideas, amen, within the framework of what we can do. Amen, but there is definite leadership and guidance. We need to pray. We need to know the Word of God. Amen, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen, this is our basic underlying method of our ministry and our outreach. Amen, is a total dependence upon the power of God. It's still not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's still going to be God that touches the heart. Amen, he that goeth forth and weepeth. It's not mean that if you don't have tears running down your face that you can't be effective reaching souls. But I see in this, when it says he that goeth forth and weepeth, it has the concept of in spite of your struggles, in spite of your difficulties, in spite of your consciousness of your own personal inadequacy and the frustrations of feeling like I'm just not able to do it. Amen. And myself, the scripture talks about he that plows not by reason of the cold, you know, he'll beg in the harvest time. You know, that's not always easy, in other words, And that's what he's talking about, going forth and weeping. Amen. There's the sense of doing it even when it's not easy. Of being faithful even when it's not fun. It's not always fun to do it God's way. But we can, by God's grace, be faithful. It's work. The Bible compares it to labor. Amen. Laboring in the harvest field. Amen. He compares it to our method in outreach. He compares it to a farmer, to a sower that went forth to sow. Amen. And scattered the seed. Amen. Listen, let me just remind you that if we are the one who feels like we have to be responsible to count and keep score of what all we've been able to accomplish, we very likely will become disillusioned and feels like it's just not worth all the effort. I'm counting how many are affected by it, and I'm counting how they're responding. And I want to tell you what, when that old Scottish preacher heard the criticism of a church member, they said, "What, you've labored all these years, and the only convert you've had is one little boy. Huh, some preacher you are." That little boy was Robert Moffat, and he talked to us, the old preacher, and said, "Preacher, do you think if I studied real hard and applied myself, maybe God could use me to be a preacher?" He went to Africa. Years later, he came back, and he said, On a sunshiny day, he said, "I can look out and I can see the smoke of 1,000 villages that have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ." David Livingston heard that challenge. I want to tell you what, those precious little souls that the devil says, "Y'all, you're just only one." I want to tell you what, that one is precious. And anytime we lose the value of the individual, anytime we think it's only the masses and the mag, and you know, we hear reports of other places and other people, you know, that are just bursting at the seams and thousands and whatever. And I'm not saying that there's not people that God can bless. I'm just simply saying, amen, don't let that restrict the faith in your heart to believe that God is working. Amen. Just like that farmer that plows, amen, and plants and sows and waits and waits and waits. I mean, that's often amazed me, you know, as we travel across the country and we see these huge fields of, and you think, what's the guy doing that planted all this? Is he just sitting in the house somewhere today? I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but he has to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks between the time of the planting and the time of harvesting. And there's a seasonal responsibility there. But our method is sometimes like a farmer sowing and reaping. Sometimes it's like fishing. Jesus used that illustration and he said, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." Hallelujah. What does it mean to be a fisher of men? Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things in this is that you have to go where they are. I remember when I was a boy, I never was much of a fisherman. My dad didn't care for it all that much, and so it wasn't a priority. I don't feel like I was neglected. I don't feel like I was abused, but it just never was a thing. But I know one time I think my older brothers were more interested, because when we went down to Mamaw and Papaw's house, they would go fish at the little creek that went down the thing. It had a deep hole, they called it, and they'd go down there and fish, and so they had fishing rods. And so I remember standing in the front yard casting. put a weight on it, you know, and I'd practice throwing fish. I never did it that much in water, and I never was good at catching fish. But I had fun throwing the thing as a little boy. You know what? But when it comes to, you know, it can be real easy to talk about outreach when we're right here. We're sharing, you know, ideas and comparing lures and you know, talking about our rods and the reels and whatever. Amen. But that doesn't replace the importance of going where they are. And you don't have to go far to go where people need help. Do you see them when you go through the line at Walmart? Do you see that as a soul? You know what? This is something that I've tried to, I've just felt the Lord incline me. You know, if you're aware that you need something at, we'll just say Walmart, okay? I need something at Walmart. You know what? You need to go to Walmart, but not just to get what you think you need. That's probably the setting God uses to get you out of your house and headed toward Walmart. Because somebody at Walmart or on your way to Walmart when you stop and get gas or whatever, there's somebody. Listen, if you only live for things and to get your checklist done, you're missing the heart of God. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As you go, it's not just what you're going to do once you get there, but as you go, in the course of your life, seize opportunity. It's not that necessarily you're going to stand up and preach a sermon to things, but I tell you what, amen, I know some of you already seen this, but this is one of my favorite things that I've come across lately. That I enjoy doing. I'll just jump into this right here. You can arm yourself with some things. Look at that right there. Which one looks bigger? Now which one looks bigger? Just a simple optical illusion. That reminds us that things are not always as they appear to be. They're the identical size. It reminds us that we better take what God says about things instead of our human opinions. Because we can have our opinions and our ideas, and we can be wrong. I don't know exactly how many I've been able to lead to Jesus just with this simple truth. You know why? Because when people are humbled and they're face to face with the fact, I can be wrong, God's grace is reaching for them right then. Praise God. And just a simple little thing like this. Amen. I've got some. I'll be glad to give y'all some before you leave today. But just simple things like this can help you, amen, reach out for people. Be aware that God, amen, the people in your life are more important than your things. You may need, you know, some groceries or whatever, but you don't know what that soul, amen. We went into a shoe store to get shoes for one of our children at Indian Reservation in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and went in there we looked around for the shoes. They didn't have what we were looking for. But before I walked out, I showed this to the lady behind the desk. She just broke down and started weeping. Said, you don't know how bad I needed the reminder of the fact that God knows what's going on in my life. And I need him. And boy, I'm just telling you, amen, I don't know what all God may use you to do it. You don't have to do it just like me. Amen. But I'm just saying, have an awareness. I'm reaching out of myself. I'm not just concerned about getting the stuff I need. Amen. God, I have a need, but that puts me in a place. Amen. Jesus was weary with his journey. He sat on the side of the well while the disciples went into town to get groceries. Here came a woman. Hallelujah. And God used his questions and his need for water as he asked her for a drink to begin to open up a conversation with her that made a difference. Praise God. We have to go where they are. Jesus told his disciples, launch out into the deep. Get out there where the fish are. Amen. Don't just around here in the wading pool. Amen. Get out there where the fish are. Praise God. Then in respect as well with the being fishers of men. Amen. We must have methods of contact. Hooks, nets. When you're fishing, you have to have some way of getting in touch with them. And that's what y'all are doing through children's ministry and through the different means of outreach. Amen. You're seeking for opportunities to make contacts with people. Amen. We must obey Christ in the use of those methods. Amen. Jesus told them, cast the nets on the right side of the ship. And so that's where we need God's guidance. We can toil all night. And I have to confess to you, there's been a whole lot of my life I feel like I've toiled all night and caught nothing. And that's a disheartening feeling. But I tell you what, as you seek the face of the Lord and hunger for him and desire him, amen, and he speaks a little word in your heart, it was not just a simple thing, because if you've ever seen some of those fishing boats, and some of you probably know a lot more about it than I do, but they have them built and constructed to throw the nets off of a particular side. I mean, they have their winch and their things, constructed. And so it changed up everything, possibly. And I didn't see their boat, but there's a possibility that it changed up everything about their whole method of doing things. But it's what Jesus said do. And so they were willing to change their methods to align with what Jesus said to do. We may all have our ideas, amen, but we have to choose, and we deliberately and want to choose, amen. Jesus told us, told Peter, you go out there and cast a hook. Now, wait a minute. Another time he told him to cast nets. This time he told Peter, go cast a hook. Take up the first fish you get. Amen. There'll be a corn in his mouth. Amen. Pay taxes. Praise God. We also have to maintain the purity of our methods. You know what they did? The Bible says specifically, Jesus found some of them washing their nets. They were washing their nets. I want to tell you what. When you have a heart, amen, don't stoop, amen, to the devil's agenda. Some people use rock and roll music to entice people to come to church. I don't believe God needs that kind of a net. And so maintain the purity of your methods. Maintain the purity of it. Amen. Wash those nets. Scrub them. Get them clean. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's never been anybody too clean for God to use, but I'm convinced there's been some that's too dirty. Maintain the purity of our lives, that God can use us for his glory. Wow, praise God. Boy, I'm having fun, but my time's just running away. Amen. Then sometimes we have to correct flaws in our methods. The Bible says there were times they were mending their nets. They began to see, hey, where are we losing them? Is it because we're not following, whatever means it might be? Is it because of criticism? Is it because of, they're not the size and the shape and the color of fish we thought we wanted? And so we lose them. And they, in a very real sense, they fall through the cracks. Amen. We must include and learn to work in cooperation with others. I'm talking about being a fisher of men. You know what they did? They called their There were so many, they couldn't handle them all. And so they said, come help me. I want to tell you what, that's the beauty, amen, of a church like y'all's. In my observation, amen, is one of the, very frankly, one of the greatest examples that I know of people that work together. Brother Hurst, I tell you what, to God be the glory and through all you precious people, but I see you people as a people that work together, amen, to get the job done. And when you all pull together, and that's the beauty of being a fisher of men. It's not just a lone ranger type of deal, amen. Then we value each one. You know, when they pulled those fish to shore, they counted them, 176. Every one of them was precious. When that little lad had his lunch, it was two small fish. So however many it is, it's precious in the sight of God. Amen. And then, praise God. And then accept the continuing responsibility for the ones you catch. Sometimes that's the hard part. It's fun catching them, but there's a lot of guys, but we're not into the catch and release business. We're not into it just for the fun of and the exhilaration of feeling that fish on the line and, wow, here I'm getting him in. And mount him as a trophy. Look what I did. You understand the point I'm saying? But then the ones that God, by his mercy and with his provision, has allowed us to influence and impact their lives and bring them up close. Amen. Then comes a continuing responsibility to clean them and cook them. And the fish, that is. And so, so our methods. Sometimes it's like fishing for men. It's also a sense, the method of our outreach is compared in the scriptures to bearing fruit. Abide in the vine. Let it be the result of Jesus living through you. Praise God that there can be an effectiveness, amen, in the outreach that God. Sometimes it's, we might call it, amen. Sometimes it's like a farmer. Sometimes it's like fishing. Sometimes it's like fruit bearing. Sometimes it's like a first responder. Well, that ought to perk up the ears of some folks around here. Search and rescue. Jesus mentioned about the shepherd. It was missing one of his sheep. Tell you what, the method of our outreach, amen, is with the mentality, amen. And I wish I understood a lot more of it than what I do, but I do understand. You know, what is it that if you were to lose, what would mean the most to you? What would get to you the quickest? For some people, it's a pet. If they were to lose their pet, I know we were taking care of a missionary's place down in southern Arizona, and they'd been on the mission field for 50 years without, wasn't it, the whole 50 years, they had never had a real vacation. Every place, anytime they'd left, it was always in ministry somewhere else, and they'd never had a vacation. And so we had developed a relationship with them over these years, and they said, would y'all stay here at our place, minister, and house sit our dogs? Well, a couple of our children, a couple of our boys, stayed in there. They had an experience, all right. But anyway, one day, those little poodles got out of the yard. They'd let them out, and they got out of the yard, and they ran across little Hannah Road and out into the sagebrush, the desert sagebrush, and running as fast as they could away. And if you only understood how much these people loved their little poodles, And the feeling that was in my heart, Brother Hurst, when I'm standing there inside the fence and I see those two little white poodles heading for who knows where. We took off running. We tried calling their names. I mean, we ran and we panted and but all I could think of was what those folks would be thinking and saying when I'm having to call them up and say, I'm sorry. I mean, you know what I did? I mean, we chased. I thought I'd see it over here around the bush. And boy, I'd run over there and, oh. I remember falling down on my knees. I said, God, these poodles don't mean a whole lot to me personally. But I know they mean a whole lot to their owner. Please have mercy on us. Please. It was a little while, but it, by God's mercy and grace, I give God the credit and the glory, but it worked out, and we got them back, and ooh, we were so happy. But you know what? You know what? The souls out here today, that soul that needs Jesus may not mean a whole lot to you personally. You may not have, it's like one preacher told me one time, he is praying about a fella in his church, and he was just in and out and up and down, and he said, Lord, I don't know why you keep on messing with this guy. I mean, he's just so fickle and just so unpredictable, and you don't know what he's going to be doing next, and you know, it seemed like you'd just be tired of messing with him. And he said God spoke to him and said, you don't have as much invested in him as I do. Tell you what, when those souls, every person you see on planet Earth may not have a personal, you may not benefit from their life or anything about it, but I want to tell you what, they mean a whole lot to the shepherd. Praise God. And so he's called upon us, amen, to search. Amen. For some people, amen, if they were to lose their pet, amen, and Jesus gives that comparison there in Luke 15 about a lost sheep. For some people, it's their possessions. If they were to lose their possessions. Have you ever lost a cell phone? Have you ever lost your keys? Have you ever lost something else that was real significant to you? And I mean, you're turning up the whole house, you know. You're digging. I mean, you just got to find it. Jesus understands those kind of people that for them, their possessions mean most. And so he tells the story about the man who lost, or the woman rather, who lost that coin. Let it stir something in your heart more significant than to lose something that was the most precious to you. Amen. But there's something that drives you and compels you. Amen. I've got to... Excuse me. Reach the lost. Or a person. Which of those three? Different people are different ways, I know, but we all ought to say probably the person would mean the most to us. You ever lost somebody? One of your children in a store or something? And you thought, they were here just a minute ago. Where'd they go? And your mind races and thinks of all the possibilities. I want to tell you something, amen. The method, amen, as a first responder, I've got to search and rescue, reach out. Glory to God. I've got to hurry. Amen. Praise God. We're to be the light. Speaking, telling the good news, serving, doing it, amen, to the best. You know what? A method of our outreach can be something so simple as serving and meeting the basic practical needs that people have. I saw this illustrated and God uses the meeting of practical needs to help prepare the way for maybe someone else that would come and actually share a strong witness to them. I saw that we were in Oklahoma and had Edibert. We went to visit an area where the Kickapoo Indians were, and they had signs on their little road back there behind back by the Canadian River there, and said, you know, keep out, private drive, all this kind of stuff. And the preacher I was with said, this is where they live. I said, well, let's go. So we drove back there, and we pulled up into a yard where we saw a couple of ladies and a man out in the yard. And so we just stopped there and got out. And a little short, stocky guy by the name of Johnny, in his probably late 70s then, I don't know exactly how old he was, but came real briskly up to him and said, what do you guys want? The guy that I was with said, you know, said, we just want to come down and meet you guys. Said, you remember last winter? Said, called the guy's name Billy or Bobby or something. I can't remember his name for sure. But he said he brought you guys some firewood. He said, yeah, I remember that. Boy, it was a bad winter. And he said this guy just drove up here and had a load of firewood. And he said, man, that was such a help to us. Boy, just in a heartbeat, his defenses were down and his heart was open. And I began to talk to him. I said, well, the reason I'm here is because I care about your soul. He said, I've come to talk to you about Jesus that came to set us free from bitterness and hatred and give us hope for our lives. Amen. Johnny, amen. He said, man, he said, could I tell you some stories? He said, I know what it was. And he just began to tell me stories of his upbringing and how the racism and stuff, you know, right there. That he said, even to this day, we drive up to the town of Choctaw. And he said, people see our license plates, the Kickapoo Nation and stuff. And he said, we can guarantee we'll be pulled over at least once by a policeman and harassed. He said, he said, it just happens all the time. He said, he had a lot to say, but within about 30 minutes, that guy was inviting me to go over to his house. And he took me in there, and he began to show me his artwork and his paintings and his Arrowhead collection and all sorts of stuff. Just opened his heart to us. I saw, you know, I was glad to be there. I was having an opportunity to touch that man's life that I might not have had there not been somebody else that had laid the groundwork for it by being kind to him. I'm going to tell you. When you fix those meals and do that stuff for those kids, you know, you serve those children by doing the ministry to them, and it touches mom and dad, and they say, you know, here's somebody showing an interest in my child, and boy, it makes a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I boring you? I don't mean to. Amen. Oh, the example. Amen. Not everybody's going to be a Peter. Not everybody's going to be able to stand up and proclaim the gospel and 3,000 get saved. Wow, what a preacher Peter is. But he had a brother. You know his brother's name? Andrew. Yeah. Andrew. He found the lad that had the lunch. He brought the Greeks to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And though he may not have had the testimony of the one that preached that message, amen, he was making a difference. He had his part. And we may not all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. Praise God. Amen. You may not be a preacher. You may not be. We cannot all be preachers, but every one of us can be a reacher. Amen. We can be somebody. We may be sort of in the background. Amen. Like Peter's brother Andrew was. But Andrew wasn't miffed. Andrew wasn't, amen, introverted. He wasn't saying, well, if I can't be the preacher, I'm not going to be anything. Amen. No, he said, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to reach out as best I can. Amen. I want to be sensitive. Amen. It may have been that, boy, there's just lots of things there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes, as I said, give tracts. Amen. I usually try to keep some in my pocket Here's a pretty neat one. Looks like a cell phone. It's got a pretty neat little thing there. Speaking of, anyway. Amen. Sometimes you wonder, sometimes use conversation turnarounds. The other day I was talking to a guy. I said, well, how you doing today? He said, I'm doing pretty good. I woke up. I looked at him. I said, yes, sir, that's great. But what if you hadn't woke up? Would you be doing good today? What if this would have been the day that you were in eternity? Would you be ready? I mean, just simple. Look for opportunities to turn the earthly into the eternal. Amen. Instead of just passing off casual conversation, amen, just make it an opportunity. I challenge you to think of a good response when people ask you, how you doing? Do we just say, well, I'm doing fine? That's a common response, isn't it? But it might be an opportunity to leave a little word like, I'm blessed and thankful. I mean, that's just something I started doing. But I need to improve on that, because the first guy I heard say it that way in DFW Airport, amen, after he said, I asked him, how you doing today? He's a cheerful Arab-looking guy. And he said, oh, I'm blessed and thankful. I said, wow, that's wonderful. You must be a Christian. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a Muslim, was his response. So I need to improve on that, because even a Muslim can say I'm blessed and thankful, I guess. But, amen. I want to point out Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just remind you of a simple thought here. Amen. Communication. We're talking about outreach. Communication is 7% the words that we speak. The total communication is only 7% of the actual words that we speak. 55% of communication is our facial expression while we're saying it. And 38% of communication is the tone of voice we use. How many of you husbands know you can say the right thing? But not be communicating the right thing? We may be saying okay, but we may be saying okay. And it's amazing what they read into that. We've communicated, but maybe not what we wanted them to receive. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to our outreach for souls, don't let it just be words out of our mouth. Whether it's in church, whether it's whether you're playing ball, whether you're doing ministry, whatever you're doing, amen, let it be a flowing out, amen, of true gospel communication. Praise God. The compassion. Just sum it all up here with three little thoughts. The compassion of our outreach. The compassion. Let it be like, what was the difference between the priest, the Levite? Well, I guess I could start in the story of the Good Samaritan. The thieves, the priest, the Levite, and who we call the Good Samaritan. What was it that made the difference and made one of them, amen, the hero of that story? It was compassion. One of them had compassion. The others did not. The others' level of expressing their lack of compassion was different, but this one had a heart that was moved with compassion, who was concerned genuinely, and that can only be birthed, amen, in the presence of the Savior, who is full of compassion and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The cost of our outreach. cost of our outreach. For the Samaritan, it was inconvenience. He had to get off of his donkey. He had to expend his resources of the oil and the wine that he poured in. Amen. He carried him to the inn, spent time. It was an interruption in his journey. When I pastored, I had a fella. There was somebody that needed a ride to church. And it was in the same general area where this fella lived. And so I called him up. I said, "Would you mind picking up this person to bring him to church?" "Well, it'd be a little bit out of my way." It was a little bit out of his way. And so he declined. He didn't want to go out of his way. I'm convinced that all of y'all here this morning are not of that mindset and are willing to pay. What was it C.T. Studd said? Some want to build their house within the sound of chapel bell. But as for me, I can't remember exactly how to quote it exactly, but let it be within the rescue station within a yard of hell. A cost. Listen, I want to tell you something. You know what happens when you reach out? It's liable your hand will get slapped. It's liable that you might get it caught in the door. It's liable that all sorts of things can happen. You subject yourself to wounds when you reach out. As long as you keep it up like this, you're not as likely, possibly, in one sense of the word, to get wounded and get hurt. I'm looking at some folks this morning that know what it is to be hurt as a result of reaching out. Was Jesus wounded in the process of reaching out? He was. And if we are going to adopt the mentality and the idea, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be wounded. I don't want to risk being misunderstood. I don't want to risk, amen, these things. Then you'll never have the joy, hallelujah, of being able to reach out and touch somebody. I think of Denise. It was in May. We were in Kivalina, Alaska. And the Chuk Chi Sea was still solid ice. There's still 15-foot snowdrifts. And for a Texas boy, that's a little different. But we were there, and we were the kids laughed at us because right outside the church there was about a 15-foot snowdrift that we had to climb and then sort of slide and make our way into the church door, you know. And, oh, the kids, they'd watch us Texans try to do that kind of stuff. And, boy, they had so much fun laughing at us, Joseph and Jamin and I. With the starting the thawing process, there was a lot of fog and stuff, and so we weren't able to fly out like we'd intended to, and so I had to spend some more time, a few more days there, and so I just started walking around talking at some more houses and knocked on one door, and a lady came to the door, a very distraught lady. She said, "Oh, are you the preacher that's coming to town?" The guy, the regular preacher there, had gone out. He had business work. And so up there, there's just such a mobility, you know. They're just gone all the time. And anyway, she said, "Are you the preacher that's come to town?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Well, I was hoping I'd get to talk to you because," said, "I am just," said, "my husband just almost killed me and in one of the other villages. And said, I fled over here with my children to escape. And said, but I am so full of hatred." And I'll never forget the searching look in her eye when she looked at me and said, "Do you think your God could help me?" I was glad I could look back at her and say, I know my God can help you. We started talking just for a moment, and there's a lot of commotion, children and stuff in the background. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I've got to go and get these kids something to eat. I'm watching my sister's kids, too, while she's working. And said, so, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come to the service tonight. So we had service that night, and the boys did the ministry of the children. And sure enough, she came in. She sat back there, and I remember preaching just a simple thought about victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Gave the altar call, and she came and she walked, and she stood about third row back, and she motioned us to come over and pray for her. And she took her baby and swung it around, and she had a parka on, you know, and a big heavy parka, and she swung it around and dropped it down her the back, you know, and cinched up the belt around her, and baby's back there somewhere, but... But she began to reach out to the Lord, and it's just the twisted and gnarled look on her face. I mean, it was just almost unbearable to look at. I mean, she was just contorted, the expressive seemed to, the agony of her heart, you know, just reaching out, and she was, and I heard her, she began to pray, and she's and just confessing the hatred and the bitterness. It was so dominating her life and her focus. We were praying for her and with her. And I happened to open my eyes and look at her right at the precise moment that all of a sudden that gnarled, twisted, embittered, hateful look on her face relaxed. A little smile broke out. She began to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you what, you cannot measure... Lastly, the compensation for reaching out. The compensation. There's a cost. There's a sacrifice. But it's worth it. It'll be worth it, young people. Don't live for yourself. Thinking, well, if I... Rod, to really dedicate myself to the Lord, I might have to, you know, be involved in something that I'd rather pursue this career and have this stuff and accomplish this. Amen. If there could be in your heart a desire to say, God, whatever you want, that's all that I'm caring about. Amen. But no matter what vocation, amen, that or what means whereby God provides for the sustenance of your life. Amen. Your priority of life. Amen. Can be, I want to reach out to touch people. Amen. God may use you and have you in different jobs and whatever. And however God leads in that. But no matter where you are, what position you have. Amen. In this life, may you always have a condition of heart, of compassion, and availability to reach out. Will you stand with me today? Praise God. Hallelujah. That chorus, I can't remember now how it goes. It's just left me. I was singing it this morning. Something about reaching out. Oh, to be his hand extended. Could we sing that? Oh, to be his hand extended. Reaching out to thee, oppressed. Let me touch him. That's the vertical. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. Sing one more time. Could we, is it all right, Pastor, if we just come around for a time of prayer together? Amen. Oh, to be his hand. Make that your prayer as you come. Extended. Reaching out to thee. Oppressed. Let
Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. Oh, as we pray today, let's pray that God, first of all, will renew our fervent relationship with Him and to feel His heartbeat. Amen. To feel His compassion for the world. To feel His compassion for our families, for our extended families, for relatives. Amen. There would be a faith that works by love. Praise God. That there would be an effectiveness in our outreach that is motivated and prompted, hallelujah, a readiness to make whatever sacrifices are needed to reach outside of our comfort zone. Praise God. To say, Lord, use me. Jesus, use me. Help me, Lord, to be a channel of your purpose. Help me to have the middleman's joy. Help me to have that opportunity, Lord, of reaching out to others. Lord, I pray for these precious lives. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Lord, and Lord, I'm just so encouraged and amazed, Lord, when I see in the hearts of these precious people such an awareness of the value of the souls of people, and prompted and inspired and motivated by our love for you, Lord. Praise God that we're willing to make whatever sacrifices are needed. Whatever, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We honor you and magnify you. Lord, I plead the blood. I pray for an effectiveness in ministry and outreach, Lord, to this community, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Give divine direction and leadership, even as you did to Philip, Lord. Hallelujah, when you called upon him to leave that wonderful revival and filth in Samaria and go out into the desert where it looked like his ministry would be wasted. But instead, Lord, it was there that you gave him opportunity.